July 24, 2025. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is Randy Taylor. Together, we will be bringing your this edition of the Hagman Report. There's a lot of information out there. I want to engage. I was talking with Randy Taylor before the show, and you know, we have a lot. We're dealing with a lot today. Don't you think, folks? I mean, we're dealing with a lot of information, a lot of news, a lot of twists and turns within the information, and a lot of lies and a lot of hopes. And you know, it's amazing how we put ourselves in positions of hope. And I think that's a good thing. I hoping people do the right thing, but to date, we haven't seen much of that, have we? All right. Just in case you were, I got to say this. I happened upon today, you know, Ozzy Osbourne died this week. Do you remember that show, folks, the reality show back in the early 2000s, The Osbournes? Okay. For some reason, that show cracked me up. Okay. Now, look, I understand all about the Osbournes. I get it. Okay. Allow me this guilty pleasure once in a while, but, I happened because they're having some, I don't know, on television shows, they're having some memoriam thing. So they're rerunning their shows. I happened when I went into my living area. It was on the television, and it was a scene from when he went to the dentist. I'm not sure how many people saw that, his experience with nitrous oxide. And the reason I'm mentioning this is sometimes I feel that way, okay? After getting not enough nitrous oxide, according to him, you know, he was given the max, the Aussie dose, I guess. And and then they cut to a scene where, you know, hey, Rince, he's in the dentist chair, and he's got a little Dixie cup, rinse, and you see him putting the Dixie cup up to his eye. Okay, I mean, it just cracked me up. So sometimes those little things, sometimes you gotta laugh, I guess, regardless of the backstory, you gotta laugh. All right. Steve Quayle, of course, is not coming on tonight. Schedule conflict. Plus, the guy's just worn out, man. I'm telling you, keep Steve in your prayers. He's worn out. He's working hard, doing a lot of things. So, got to give him a break. You know, we're all kind of between Steve Quayle, myself, Randy Taylor. I will accept, Eric the Tech. I mean, we're breaking down. I got to tell you, we're breaking down.
We're getting old.
Getting old. Yeah. Come on board, Randy Taylor. Come on board.
Hey, folks, how are we doing this evening? I just let, just so everybody knows, got a storm on my back here. If I have to bounce away to go to the basement, I'll just disappear. But to let you know that that would be the reason. Other than that, we're trucking.
Well. It's some excitement there, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. It's exciting enough I put my leg on.
I was going to say, otherwise your wife could just roll you down the stairs.
Give our push.
And folks, I would expect, look, this is all good nature ribbing. I mean, we're good friends. I would expect the same kind of comments made to me by him. So,
if he didn't say that, I'd think something was wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So one of the things I know yesterday we talked about dropping some information, which we can do, but you know, we, Randy Taylor and I, just so you guys understand this, to set this up, we have been in the trenches now for almost as long as Steve Quayle and I have been. You know, we go back to 01, right around the same time as, Steve and I. Okay. So, and we have done, how many hours, hours? I don't even know if we do hours. It would.
I did back in 2007 or 2008. I sat down and calculated that. And I put myself at a very minimal hourly wage. And right. it was like, I think I did it like $25 an hour or something. And I was paying my people more, put it that way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I did it at that and added in my expenses, the computers, trips, translation software, just everything involved. And I was pushing $500,000.
Right, okay.
By that time.
Well, suffice it to say.
Out of my pocket, yeah.
Out of your pocket, not out of my pocket. I mean, we did this, and the other part of this too. And without the people who supported us, we wouldn't even be here. But I remember getting, back in the day when it cost money for bandwidth. That's the wrong way of saying it. But for example, we hosted our own videos because no one else would host them. Yeah. And that cost us just I remember getting bills for $3,000-$4,000 back when that was money, Doug, you know.
Doug would call me and go, do you have the American Express? There it is. Yeah. There it is, my friend.
it was staggering. And then Neil Cavuto had me on to explain why we were putting such graphic, you know, beheadings on our website. And I try to explain, you know, the media sanitizes everything.
We were the ones telling the truth.
Right.
By virtue of presenting exactly what the terrorists and the insurgencies were presenting online. So it wasn't edited. It was straight. This is what they posted.
You know, comparing it to recent stuff, it would be like, you know, everyone makes fun of the CNN reporter saying mostly peaceful protests while everything is, you know, Armageddon in the background, right?
Yeah.
This is akin, or this was the media saying, well, this person was captured and subsequently killed, when in fact he was tortured and it was a whole big thing. Mm-hmm. It was gruesome, but
the war is different when you're listening to a video of someone getting their head cut off and you're listening to them gurgle their last breaths of air on this planet. There's something different to that. That makes it real, because too many people were getting terror fatigue and getting detached from the war in Iraq, and they had to understand what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it was our job to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, and if it wasn't going to be classified, then we posted it. Sometimes we posted it anyway.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was our stuff. We retrieved it. No one can really tell us what to do with it. They got upset sometimes.
Oh, but upset is not even the word to use. I mean, threatening and
I'll walk away. Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah. And it's different, too. We've both, Randy Taylor and myself have both been in the positions. It's one thing to talk about seeing, for example, sucking chest wound and describing it or showing it. And it's another thing to be in the position to be next to somebody with a sucking chest wound and watching them take their last breath.
And you're sitting there telling them it's okay.
And it's okay. Just hang on.
The chopper's on its way.
Or depending on this, because different venues. But yeah. So
stay with me, man. Stay with me.
Think about, you know, so and so. She's counting on you, and you're going to be fine. You're just hang with us.
Okay. You tell her yourself.
Yeah, you're going to exactly, and that leaves. Boy, I'll tell you what, you don't get over that very quickly, and that's thankfully that's only happened to me once. I mean, but it's like it could be 1,000 times, you know. Anyway, but people need to know the truth.
That rolls into your brain when you're just sitting there laying in bed, can't sleep, staring at the ceiling. That's when you got to look out for that stuff.
Yeah.
It hunts you down.
And that's the thing. And folks, tonight, what we'd like to do, because we left it last night, is, you know, we're dropping a few things. But we also want to engage the chat. We figured this, if we were talking about this before airtime. You know, if you are in Rumble, in the Rumble chat, and you've gone to the trouble to sign in, sign ups, you know, follow us, whatever, and you're there, we want to hear from you what's on your mind, what you want us to talk about. Only because, I mean, we could talk about a lot of things, but I have a sense that there's a level of fatigue that's coming into play.
And to let you know that we appreciate you.
Yes.
And
yes.
What's important to you is important to us. And if you are asking, then you obviously haven't heard it somewhere else, and hopefully we can answer it for you.
Yeah. And you'll get the truth from us, nothing but the truth, or, you know, or a simple look, we don't know. You know, or we can speculate depending on the nature of the question. But I saw something. Let me just pull it up here. I saw something before the show, and I just, Randy, do you have access to the chat, by the way, or no?
I can pull it up.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to keep an eye on it just for a second here, I just want to touch on this. In the American Thinker, published today, an article by Kevin Finn titled "The Law Strikes Back," and I thought about this article, and I thought about where we're at with everything. And he writes this: whether or not indictments, trials, and convictions of high profile figures like Hussein, Obama, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, Hillary, whether they occur, the consequences are going to likely be profound, impacting political, legal, social, and institutional domains.
Clapper, Brennan, Comey.
Oh, I can hear myself.
Whether they
is that you? That's you.
Hey, buddy, sorry.
Yeah.
Political.
I'm trying to run it up.
Okay.
Social.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Too many things going on. Once.
Yeah, I hear you. So he writes, and again, this is an important point, some important points he's making here. Because if back when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I was like, let's just go in there, guns a-blazing, blast everybody, and, you know, let God figure out the rest, right? Now we have to kind of, okay, what are our actions going to, what are the consequences of our actions going to be? And that's kind of where I saw this article, and I want everyone to kind of get in the mindset or at least think about this. He writes, if these individuals are held to account, leftists will likely call it a politically driven vendetta. Of course. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? And he cites Representative Jim Hines, who's called the revelations baseless and a distraction. Everything's a friggin' distraction. Have you noticed that? Unaware or ignoring the irony, Democratic voters would accuse President Trump of weaponizing the Justice Department. Conversely, Trump's base would see the prosecutions as validation of what we've known for years. We've known all this stuff. Everything we talk about, you know, that's the thing. Unless a bomb goes off in somebody's backyard, haven't we talked and known about this for years? Everything that we talk about? Which is why to ask you to come into the conversation. Okay, but moving on here. And again, I think this is extremely important. Charges against such prominent figures would require substantial evidence to meet legal thresholds. And by the way, I was wrong on the federal charges. This is a five-year statute of limitations, not 10. Particularly for, okay, so... But going backward here, though, the substantial evidence to meet legal thresholds, specifically for a crime like treason under 18 U.S.C. 2381 demands proof of levying war against the U.S. or aiding its enemies, requiring two witnesses or a confession in court. That's probably one of the most highest bars that you've got in terms of federal crimes, that the crime of treason under 18 U.S.C. 2381. Now, obstruction of justice, seditious conspiracy, and or falsification of documents, all which are building blocks or could be used as building blocks for treason. Keep that in mind. These more plausible charges would still face hurdles due to statute of limitations, typically 5 years for federal crimes, and possible presidential immunity for Obama's official acts. And you can thank President Trump for that, or the SCOTUS ruling because of President Trump. Real quick here, and I'm going to just kind of button this up, but this is the point I'm trying to get to. Seditious conspiracy is a federal crime defined under USC, 18 USC 2384, which targets agreements between two or more people to use force against the government. This includes plans to overthrow the U.S. government or forcibly oppose its authority. Now, the statute also criminalizes conspiracy to prevent, hinder, or oppose its authority. So you throw a monkey wrench into think about what happened with BLM and Antifa, the riots and such, and that would certainly could fall under that broad brush of I don't want to say statutes, but the particulates of the statute, portions of the statute. So, okay. As for the statute of limitations, conspiracy is a continuing offense. This is important here. This is key. For statutes such as 18 U.S.C. 371, which requires an overt act in the furtherance of the conspiracy, the statute of limitations begins to run on the date of the last overt act. So, just to be clear, let's say Clapper and Brennan were talking about robbing a bank, right? And they were talking about this on January 1st of 2017. Well, they stopped talking about it on January 1st, 2017. The clock for the statute starts there. However, and this is important, okay, an individual's withdrawal from the conspiracy starts the statute of limitations running as to that individual. So in other words, well, he goes on, withdrawal from a conspiracy for this purpose means that the conspirator must take affirmative action by making a clean break to the authorities or clean breast of the authorities or communicating his or her disassociation to other conspirators. In other words, him saying, one or more saying, look, I'm done. I'm out of this. You guys are nuts. What's wrong with you people? I have to come clean, or I'm going to come clean. But regardless, that person has to cease the engagement in the conspiracy. And that, of course, would be starting the clock for the statute of limitations. So now this article does get into deeper, if you can believe that, deeper sections. Or deeper aspects of this, but here's the bottom line. What would happen? And here's what the article kind of ends up with. What would happen? Well, consider that while indictments of individuals such as Hillary. Now think about this. They've already indicted President Trump. They've already arrested him. You know the story. But would this be the same? Would the reaction of the left, the media, the blue-haired women, you know, with the eyes, right? Would that reaction be the same if an indictment against Hillary Clinton was filed, or John Brennan, or Clapper? Writes the author of this article. No. The leftist outrage, unrest, the arrest of Obama could inflame social tensions far beyond what we've ever seen before. Can you imagine the optics of Biden being perp walked, or just put in place of President Trump when he was that mugshot and sitting in court, put Obama in that position? What would the reaction on the left be? social media platforms would amplify those reactions. They would condemn or celebrate, depending on which side, these events. Public trust in institutions could erode further if the prosecutions are perceived to selective or lacking transparent evidence. Conversely, successful convictions with robust evidence might restore the conservatives' faith and accountability. Although, as we've seen, no amount of evidence of a Democrat's guilt, of a leftist, of a communist guilt is sufficient to convince the left. So what I want you to think about, the article I'll put in this program notes, again, is from American Thinker. The title is The Law Strikes Back by Kevin Finn. It's a good article. Get you thinking. And do we have the political will? Do we have the integrity? And that's what it comes down to, integrity, to prosecute these individuals. Randy Taylor, I just wanted to get that off my chest because I thought that was an excellent article to you. And take it wherever you want to go, including but not limited to your thoughts on that article, as well as any questions you might have seen.
My only concern in all of this is I hope this isn't a distraction to draw everybody away from the Epstein files, this whole Obama thing. They need to be brought to justice. Another thing, hear me out.
Okay.
This alligator Alcatraz. I wonder if that's actually for political prisoners. You know what I mean? The ones that normally we would have sent to Gitmo. Because why would we hold detainees long enough to put them in that environment, you know, in that particular prison? That looks something.
I've wondered that myself.
And I'm looking at the timing of everything, and I'm wondering if that's going to be.
Try protesting that prison.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I can picture Obama, Brennan, all these guys in there being guarded by U.S. Marines. And, you know, if the U.S. justice system doesn't do it, doesn't take care of it, then the military would have to step in with tribunals. Something has to be done. They committed treason. Plain and simple. And they need to be brought to account. I mean, these people dragged Trump through court as soon as he's out of the White House. I have no problem with going after Barack Hussein Obama. And then there was a post on X yesterday or last night about Obama sending some kind of cryptic message to his followers. You know, if they arrest me, you know what to do. Something along those lines.
I didn't see that. That would be an interesting message.
I didn't see the actual message. I saw some person or group that calls themselves U.S. Homeland Security. Usually their stuff's good. This was posted, so I wasn't sure. I did respond to it. And I firmly believe that anybody that would listen to that shitbag, okay, would be on the losing end of any kind of civil unrest. And I think that so many of the regular conservatives, dads, people are tired of this. And if the blacks raised up in a racial, we're talking about a racially motivated strike against white people, that would be a really big mistake in this country. Because then the gloves come off. We've pretty well been letting them run around BLM.
Yeah,
they think they're powerful. Antifa thinks they're powerful. They're not. We could crush you in an evening.
But I also don't want to underestimate. I certainly don't want to overestimate the ability of Antifa.
The way it's been handled is nobody's doing anything about it. They wait till they start on the street, then they respond to them. Or if we personally decide to go after BLM and Antifa, I'll strike them at the heart. I would hit their leaders. They wouldn't stand a chance, Doug.
That's true.
If you wanted to go all out, balls out, military,
yeah,
they get wiped out. See, they're only powerful right now because nobody does anything about it.
But I think there's also a measure of mental carelessness. Okay, look, the people who are propping up Antifa and BLM have the means to arm them, to provide them with arms. Now, they don't necessarily have the they're not trained necessarily, the ground cannon fodder.
They don't have the discipline, Doug.
They don't, but could there be, and I'm asking you this, could there be like a shadow Antifa or an Antifa in waiting?
We have black militias in Georgia and things like that, but once again, easy to locate, easy to take out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think that for them to start an uprising like that would just be a fatal mistake on their part. That's just my personal feelings. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I
think people are done. And if it was going to erupt at that level and become a threat to our country, to our safety, to our democracy, to our families, we're not running a republic and our families run a democracy. As of now, the right has not responded.
Not at all.
Not at all.
We've laid down. I mean, it's amazing.
But I think that is changing. I think that they're to that point. I think going into this last election made a lot of people have to do self-examination. Because this last election was a flashpoint if it went wrong. If we thought there was cheating at the ballot box. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Going into this last election, this country hasn't been in that state. I guarantee in Washington, they were afraid.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
I mean, remember, folks, and I know it's difficult sometimes to remember even, months
last
ago.
Week.
Yeah, really. the barriers going up in front of the White House, in front of the Capitol, and how everything was.
They were ready. They were ready for a full-on strike.
And when was the last time we saw that? We've really never seen it to that extent before. Yeah. It seems like every election now, it's beginning really with 2016, has started out with. That was really the beginning of this, whatever we're into right now, where the next election, they might, put a dome over DC. I don't know. What I do know is there's a certain fatigue out there. Go ahead.
I certainly think that they were honestly afraid to cheat in the last election.
Well, I think more eyes were on it.
We were ready. Yeah. People were ready, Doug. I mean, you felt the tension. You read emails. You saw it on social media. The pulse was very different. It was that uneasy, but very united front across the Conservative Party going into that election.
In the run-up to the election, and I'll get this out of the way, I'll just say this. I think Randy Taylor would agree with me. I think our assessment among our investigative crew in the run-up to the election, there was indeed a coup planned that was in part executed on July 13th in Butler. But I believe that members of the government at that time were well aware of exactly what was going to happen. I believe that the CNBC was informed that something was going to happen. And of course, that's why they broadcast. Understand the CNBC or the CNN, I'm sorry, not CNN, but CNN. And all the other leftist organizations, they do go to these rallies, but they don't live broadcast them. They'll cut in every once in a while if they want to make a point, but they don't live broadcast. This is a live broadcast, which is the first time that they did that, and I think for a number of years. Anyway, so
And it was amazing. People there with high speed film and things, just oddities that day.
Exactly.
And we still don't have those questions answered.
Now, In terms of like that bullet being caught, it wasn't a bullet that was caught. It was there's an explanation. I'm not an expert in that, but there's an explanation where that left a. I don't recall the term because I don't have the report in front of me, but
it's like a jet. What you see behind it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But still an amazing photograph. So I believe that what we saw was an attempted coup. Now there are some odd things that happened throughout that there was about a 3 minute period. It was longer, of course, but if you just want to hone down to the 3 minute period, there were a lot of odd things that took place. Could this have been set up? The big question we always get, could this have been set up, to wound, you know, or to make it look like President Trump was, wounded when in fact he really wasn't to the extent that they said he was. I don't even know if that made sense, but the bottom line on that is put yourself in the position of being on stage and having people pointing guns at you, okay, and having people shooting near you. That's a hell of a, yeah, you gotta put a lot of faith in.
Yeah, you're taking a hell of a chance. That's like the girl on the old wheel, you know, when they were throwing the knives at her.
Yes, yes, yeah. Now, is it impossible? No, it's not impossible, but you know, the old Sherlock Holmes saying is when you go through all the, well, I mean, it's not impossible, but is it likely? You know, not necessarily, and especially the indications afterwards. I believe that we're engaged right now based on that and other things. We're engaged in a very high stakes game or war, for the heart, minds, and souls of the American people. I really do.
Yeah.
And really the entirety of the West, because we're seeing things happen in governments all across the world. But here's the other part of it. Folks, you're listening and viewing tonight because I don't exactly know why, but people are getting tired. I know I am. And Randy, I don't know about you, but we're getting tired of, hey, you know what? We're on the brink of nuclear war. A missile is going to hit San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, any second it could be. Now, again, I'm not disparaging anyone or any opinion, but how long can you keep that up, that tension up before you say, oh, screw it, I'm going fishing?
Yeah, when I was a kid, we lived with that. We used to practice that at school, that we were getting hit with a missile. No joke. In the elementary school. Okay, so that's in the late 60s. Then you go into the military, that's all about that. And then people are talking about getting hit with nuclear missiles for my entire life. I don't worry about it. What am I going to do about it?
Exactly. What is anyone going to do?
No, there's nothing you can do.
No. And
we can deal with a lot of things. That's just one that one's out of our hands.
Yeah. Now, what's not out of our hands, of course, is how we deal with the things that we can change or in affect change.
It's like the serenity chair, serenity prayer.
Right, right.
You know, it's just like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Accept the things that you cannot change, the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
There you go. That's right. And there's a lot of truth in that statement, in that adage. So, but again, on the whole, I think people are tired. You know, daily you can tune into, Fox News or Real America's Voice, or you can listen to and watch things on the various programs, Hannity, Gutfeld, The Five on Fox, and then you've got other shows on Real America's Voice, and you know, you can see all, but everyone is more or less talking about the same thing, and how much more can, again, I come back to this, the position, how much more can we talk about at this point? Because the only thing left that we need to do is to act upon the information we have. And if the information that we have is truthful, that for example, DNI Gabbard said, look, we've got the proof that these people lied, then the only thing left to do, let's not talk about it. Let's prosecute.
Get on it.
Right. And
get on it. If you know, don't let it be like the Epstein files where I got the file on my desk.
Yeah.
You know, and then you tell us there's nothing there.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I just saw in the chat where Hannity is a joke. You know, all of these people, and I'm just going to say this: all of these people have their own shtick. Okay, whether it's Hannity or Gutfeld or whoever, and it's all opinion journalism. It's all, and that's what we do here. This is all opinion. This, well, except when we present facts and assign them as facts, but you know, they're all tunes on the same, or they're all tunes within the same song, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. Okay. You listen to one, you listen to them all. It's just a little bit different.
You're right. So, it's different faces singing the same song.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
At least we're united.
But, and that's the other thing too. Under what banner are we united? Are we united under the conservative banner or the Christian banner or the constitutional banner? Or does that cover the others or all of the above, none of the above? You know, how are we united? And do we recognize the humanity of other people as well? That's another thing I was thinking about too. What about the fact that, you know, and I will say this, Randy Taylor, I truly believe, and with what I've seen, that some of these people have no humanity. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Clintons and the Brennans and the Clappers. And they have no soul.
That's why this has to be pursued.
Yes.
Yes. This has gone on too long.
It has.
Political. I'm watching a thing on Netflix when I can, the Octopus Murders. Very, very interesting. It goes back to political corruption in the DOJ all the way back to with the Reagan administration.
The Octopus murders.
Yes.
Now,
it's too complicated to explain here.
Okay.
But it involves the U.S. government, the DOJ, using software that this guy, supposedly they bought from this guy. They didn't pay the bill, so they broke bankrupt the country, that company. People started dying. They were asking questions.
You're talking about Able Danger software? Danger program?
No. This is back with Reagan.
Okay.
Yeah, Able Danger was more of a Bush.
Yeah, okay.
This is starting
to sound familiar, but okay,
you may have run into it on Netflix. But it's, you know, I'll pull it up real quick, the Octopus Murders.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, that's...
It's a mini series.
Okay. All right.
Okay. It's under American Conspiracy. The Octopus Murders is done in 2024. In a nutshell, let's see here. Let me give you the...
Yeah.
Oh, here's the overview. An investigative journalist pursuing a political conspiracy known as the Octopus is found dead in his hotel room. Decades later, new details emerge. And it's really interesting because this guy, supposedly, they said he committed suicide in his hotel room. And when you look at the facts of the case, there's no way that was a suicide. Suicidal people don't slash their wrist 10 or 12 times. Leave bloody handprints all over the walls, and, you know, and then die in the bathtub. It doesn't work that way. Okay.
I do remember walking into an office on a Sunday morning during my EMS days and watching a guy. He was standing there with a large knife, and he actually cut his left wrist. And he cut it deep down enough where there was an arterial spurt. And then he looked at me and my partner and said, come on, try to stop me. And we opted to wait until he, you know, went unconscious before we approached him. But yeah, usually you don't have that with...
This is the reporter that was killed was a Danny Casalero.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's really interesting. And I'm only a little bit into the series. It's a little docuseries. But it's really interesting because once again, it's government corruption. When we, you know what? If you work anywhere near the government, you see corruption.
Oh, of course, yes.
I have, Doug has, or my friends have, people I know have, and it goes on, and most people don't say anything because they're afraid. They're afraid. They don't want to be. There was a movie out, "Shoot the Messenger." You know, "Shoot the Messenger," about the guy that was digging into the drug trade down in South America. And I'll tell you right now, the U.S. involvement in the South American drug trade is very, very real.
It's always been that way.
Okay, I'm just.
Yeah,
it's and you don't have to be really super smart to realize. Look at Vietnam. Vietnam, boom, heroin hit the streets hard here in the U.S.
Yep.
When we pulled out of Vietnam, heroin pretty well stopped. Yeah, it's here and there.
And just so people understand, they would smuggle in the drugs in the stomachs of the bodies of the fallen soldiers.
Yeah, dead soldiers, yeah. You watch American Gangster. Yeah, you see that. Denzel Washington does a good job in that movie. But anyway, it kind of portrays that a little bit. The cocaine. When we had the cocaine cowboys and all through the 80s, that strong cocaine flow into the United States, we were in South America. Okay?
Yep.
Then when we went into Afghanistan, guess what? Heroin came back in a big way. So you don't have to really be super smart. You just have to be old enough to do the math on these things and know that the government is in there. Don't say it's the soldiers and all that. Yeah, there's a few cases of that. But you get into the intelligence agencies and things like that. Remember Vietnam, Air America?
Oh, yeah.
They were operating outside the guidelines. They were moving drugs. And that's how they were financing operations. Because they can't get enough money out of Congress to do what they want to do. And unfortunately, the flow of cash with the drug trade has made the CIA dangerous. They're too powerful. They're too powerful today. But it's the drugs have supplied so much money to these guys over the years, in my lifetime. Since I was a little boy, I'm in my 60s. You know, and this has been constant.
Well, I want to get back to what you mentioned because this is a good insight. And forgive me for not recognizing the octopus moniker, but Inn's Law. Think about it. Folks, you remember Inn's Law.
That's it. That's what we're talking about.
In case you never heard of Inn's Law, it was a D.C. It was domiciled and within the Beltway, and it was a infotech company that had this software called Promise, PROMIS.
That's exactly what this is about.
Right. Okay. Now, there was all sorts of things happening with Inn's Law, Promise, and all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to get into that, but
it was a software for the first time that they had in the DOJ that they could type in a name and find out that the guy down the hall was working on a similar case. Where before, unless they accidentally met the guy at the coffee machine, they had no idea that the same guy was in court for the same stuff in two different places. Thus, the software. thus the beginning of this whole conspiracy.
And what is the reason this is important today, in my view, because we talk about things that are happening today. For example, with Bill Barr, remember Randy Taylor, Bill Barr is like Randy Taylor's favorite AG. Okay. But anyway, second only to Janet Reno. And speaking of both, it was under Janet Reno that the litigation against Insulon, litigation with respect to Insulon Promise and all that. It was under Janet Reno that Bill Barr, was appointed as a special counsel by, or I'm sorry, how did that work? Bill Barr was involved in the investigation, as well as Janet Reno. So you're going back a ways, but see how these names keep popping up. And when you start to peel back the layers, you can see where, okay, well, maybe he owed a certain favor. Maybe he was compromised because of this, or maybe he had to operate, you know, do some shucking and jiving with respect to different things. So this is why history with respect to these people are so important. And you hit the nail on the head by bringing that up. And Costolero, that was in 1991 when he was found in a Martinsburg, West Virginia, I think. Yeah, Martinsburg, West Virginia. Yep. Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, and his family always claimed that he was murdered. And I, you know, and this is the other thing too. And I've seen this personally where you've got coroners and you've got medical examiners. In some locations, coroners are elected and they have no, I mean, they're just people. You could be a dog catcher and be a coroner, be like the coroner, but in terms
of the chief of police can be the coroner.
Really? Yeah. I mean, however, the medical examiner is different than the coroner. So the reason I mention this is because it would be, and I've seen this, extremely easy to influence a coroner to manufacture or to, easy in the relative sense to change a death certificate or to put a certain cause of death. The death certificates haven't changed much over the years, but you've got the primary cause of death and then the, you know, proximal causes. For example, exsanguination in his case, loss of blood. That's a cause of death, but then you've got knife wound, you know, and then self-inflicted. Okay. Self-inflicted knife wound or, whatever. And then number three would be mental illness or it leading up to the primary cause. This is a huge, huge case. And I'd be interested to, in fact, I'll have to watch that. Although I'm very, very cautious. Randy Taylor, I don't know how you feel. I'm cautious about what is presented in like a Netflix documentary.
I don't like Netflix, actually.
I don't either.
I don't. Obama sits on the board. I don't like it, but every now and then there'll be something that I'll read about and I'll go over there and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but as far as, you know, I don't have cable because that's a waste of money.
Yeah, I don't either.
So everything we watch is on apps now. So I basically am Netflix. I like Tubi, and I do like Amazon Prime for movies.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so.
But I'm rarely on Netflix.
But without regard to that, what I'm seeing is, again, from my point of view, is through documentaries, there are people that attempt to rewrite the facts or rewrite history. And we have to be careful of what we watch. And we have to source everything. In my view, we have to source everything that we believe or we hear if we take it as a talking point. Does that make sense to everyone? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking, and folks in the chat, again, if you've taken the time to be here in the chat, give us a question and we'll address it because we're here for you. It's not that we don't have the content, because we do, but but we want to focus in a sense on what's on your mind, because again, fatigue is always a factor. Oh, not this again. Oh, I'm just so tired of talking about this. What about that?
You know, somebody on chat commented that I'm wearing my shades at night. These are reading glasses because I can't see 3 feet in front of my face anymore.
It doesn't even look like a shade. Your shades. I don't know.
No, they look like regular eyeglasses.
Yeah. I could put my aviators on right now and look like Biden. Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna send you an auto pen.
Okay. So yeah, I'm looking at the chat. Give us a question. I'm either missing them or.
No, there's not really have been any questions. They're talking a lot amongst themselves. Let's see. Johnny Me Five says, laughing out loud, Randy, I was commenting on your background. All right.
Okay. Oh.
Shades.
Does that mean background?
The shades, window shades.
Wow, double entendre there. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Obama, who called him Mac Daddy? That was the Reverend. In fact, we had him on.
That long-legged
Mac Daddy.
I love that guy. I can't think of his name.
He was a guest, and I was a guest on his show. I can't remember his name.
He used to just light into Obama every day. Long-legged pimp daddy is what he called him.
And remember, you know, remember that whole bit, and that was a time with Lieutenant Quarles Harris. That's right, Manley, Pastor Manley.
Yeah.
why doesn't that sound right?
I don't think that's his name, is it?
Oh, my goodness.
God, so much time has passed, man.
Eric, take if you know. Manning, Pastor Manning.
Okay.
Yeah, Manning. Okay. Wow. Have you ever spoken to Officer Schaefer, Rehoboth Farms? No. Officer Schaefer, with respect to what? Look, that name is very possible we have. I'm just not sure with respect to what. what are your thoughts on Candace Owen being sued by Macron? I think that's rather interesting. You know, be careful what you wish for. In a lawsuit, there are two sides. If it's, well, in a normal lawsuit, under normal or optimal conditions, there are two sides and there's discovery. So be careful what you wish for. It was almost as if it was being begged. She was begging to be sued.
Eric, I sent you the video with Pastor Manning going off about it, like pimp daddy. So while we're doing this, if you want to throw that one up, it's worth a laugh.
This is an interesting question. A Bells, man, I'll tell you what, my eyes are bad too. Do you see a false flag coming? And there's been a lot of talk about this. Personally,
a distraction.
Me, yes. Yeah, I do.
Yep. I do. Doubt.
And not just one, but more than one, and to serve more than one purpose. But so let's talk about that. What kind of false flag? I'm asking you, RT.
I don't know.
I mean, what kind? What kind of false flag would you expect to see?
I would expect either anything, Doug. It could be soft target or a hard target. To serve the purpose of the distractions they need. Now I'm going to say a soft target. An actual attack that could be coming. I'm not going to disregard an actual attack. I would expect more of a hard target. I do expect trouble. There's too many enemy combatants in our country without a reason. I'm expecting something. have been expecting something. I think that some of these Obama holdovers and all like that, and even some of the people he knows in the military, and there's no telling what Obama, as is, has a lot of power, and it needs to be taken away from him. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, this guy has a fully staffed office down the street from the White House. Why? George Bush doesn't. Bill Clinton doesn't.
True.
No, presidents don't do that. And we know that he basically ran the Biden administration. Do you see what I'm saying? We have a serious problem named Barack Hussein Obama.
Barry Sotaro or whatever his CIA name, you know, might
whatever. Be. I want him taken down. If Trump doesn't follow through and take him down, he's a fool or he's in on it. It's only two ways that can go. I don't know what else to say on that, Doug.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't know what else to say about that.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, I'm right now in reserve on Trump. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Because things aren't black and white. I mean, they hardly ever are in D.C. However, you know, there's a lot of people running around, oh, they've got the answer. No, they don't have the answer.
I want to go back just briefly to Candace Owens. There's a lot of commentary about her. You know, to me, one of the most dangerous environments to be in, and to the police officers, detectives listening to this, if you've ever interviewed someone who gives you 85-90% true information and then 10% false information, that's really a dangerous that's dangerous, okay, on a number of levels. Just understand that. Because that 10% could cost you your life, your reputation, your entire investigation, or whatever. I mean, who knows?
It can burn the house down.
It could. But does that negate the authenticity or the veracity of that 80 to 90% of good information? No.
No, because remember, there's a little bit of truth in every lie.
Yes.
At least. There is at least a little bit of truth, because they have to almost set the premise. They almost have to keep it on track. If you're interviewing somebody, you'll notice that. They throw just enough to you just to keep it on track.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's bullshit.
Well, and so I see a lot of that happening with a lot of social influencer platforms, and I'm not going to name them all. In the context of Candace Owens, I'll just put a period after my statement there, but you're going to find a lot of people giving out that ratio of truth to lies, and there is something very despicable about all of that. That's why, quite frankly, I don't like it. I don't want to do what I'm doing, because it seems rather self-serving and
don't depend on these influencers.
Please don't.
Do not. Okay. Both sides have people out there that are paid. It's important that you understand that. Okay? It isn't just the Democrats that pay influencers. The right pays influencers too. Okay? And the person that is paid will sing the song of the payer.
Always.
And that's a dangerous place for anybody to be in, to sit there and take their what they say as God's truth. Do your own investigation. Do your own research. See, that problem today is people are lazy. People don't want to go look, you know.
Yeah.
Fabulous Fred, who has 750,000 followers, said that was true.
Yeah.
Good point. So everybody believes Fabulous Fred, you know, where sometimes I've heard more truth out of a guy that has 1,200 followers. You ever think that maybe the guy telling the truth isn't that popular? It happens.
Again, excellent that, point.
That explains our low follower count.
Which, among other things, and that's being, banished into obscurity. But
yeah, that black hole that I'm in, I don't know what it is.
Right, right. But you know, it doesn't matter. To me, the numbers are a tool for exposure to the truth, in my view. You get millions of followers, 1.2 million followers, unless you're the president or somebody that's got the ability to change policy and change the course direction of events, then it doesn't matter. You could have 12, you could be talking, however, you do want that element of truth to get out there to be spread. But then you have a danger when you start seeing numbers like that. There's always that danger of who is propping me, because 90%, 95%, this is not organic follower. These are not organic followers. These are paid people who have been paid, being paid.
You can buy followers.
Oh yeah.
There's actually companies out there that do that.
And I would, in fact, the company offered us to do that. Now, there's no way. I mean, get out of my face. No. Get out of here.
No, I just think that's a dangerous road to go down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm more interested in quality as opposed to quantity. You know what I mean? I've got a couple thousand followers, and I love them. I love them. They're great people. A lot of them are the people right here in our chat. A lot of people.
Exactly.
Fans of the show. You know, I DM back and forth with a lot of people from their show. A lot of people on Twitter, we go back and forth on DM and email. You know, so, you know, the base that we have are fantastic people. That's why I'm always cautious when I say hi to one person, because I need to say hi to about, 40 people.
Well, and that's the other thing too. I always read all of the info. If somebody takes the time out to handwrite a letter, a note, whatever to me or to this platform, I will absolutely take that time to read it. Now, I don't respond. I can't respond to all of them. Although I'm trying to get better, because I do have some downtime now. When I say downtime, so I'm trying to catch up, but that's the thing. When you can, like when we go to conferences and you look at people in the eyes and you meet them and you shake their hand and you hear their stories and you say, wow, that's your screen name. Okay. Now, and then you're able to, okay. Yeah.
It's like putting a face with a name.
Right. But yeah. But somebody with 1.2, they'll never remember any of that. No. Even if they did that,
they don't even know you're there.
No. And do you think they really read their own mail? Hell no.
No, I don't. It's, I don't know. The social platforms, they're a mess.
They're only going to get worse.
And don't think that X is a free speech platform, because it's not. They still have holdovers from the old regime, people that are in the programming and censoring and editing and all that, because I still get zipped from time to time. And then I got to sit there and fight it out with them. The last one I won, I was talking about AOC, and she made a false accusation about Trump being a child rapist or something. And they said that, he needs to sue her and bitch slap her back to the Stone Age. Well, of course, I'm speaking legally, and boom, right away. I kid you not, within seconds.
Really?
Boom. Really? I was locked up for 7 days and all that, and I was like, okay, fine. So I actually took the time to respond to them. I didn't remove the post. I left it there, and I emailed them, and they actually decided I was correct.
Well, the word legally has some merit there.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to keep. So Tim Dumb said, and forgive me if the pronunciations of the names are incorrect. Where's Anthony Weiner's computer? RT, do you know where Anthony Weiner's computer is?
No, but I sure would like to know.
Okay. I do know that in the FBI vault, okay, there's a website called, I think it's FBI Vault, where there's a searchable database for Hillary Clinton's emails on Wiener's computer. Now, having corresponded with Sidney Powell, this is going back some time, and forgive me. The Wiener laptop contained a lot of bad, bad stuff. And this is relevant again today, because the same players involved in the Epstein deal and the, even going back to Pizzagate, but Epstein especially, are on the Wiener laptop. And the Wiener laptop has all, in addition to Sidney Powell, who spoke with police officers who looked at the information or looked at the images and such, I had spoken with one individual who saw some of the, who happened to be in the same area when some things were being shown and said it was horrible. I think 9 of the 12 who police officers who saw the information on that laptop are deceased, now deceased.
Yeah, and explain that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The that, numbers don't add
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And, so, and, yeah. And some of the things that on that laptop would have been that involved Hillary Clinton and that Huma Abedin or whatever her name was.
Huma Abedin.
That yeah. piece of crap. Okay. Who's now married to somebody else recently.
Yeah. In fact, within the family of.
God, that's a marriage made now.
Oh, come on.
But remember the supposed video of Hillary and that woman peeling the face off of someone.
Yeah, Frazzle Drip, which...
I don't know, because I wonder what's on that laptop that was so disgusting.
Well, that was... that reportedly, that was one of the things, but...
It wasn't proven or disproven.
No, and there were a lot of... I believe there were a lot of problems with that video. I'm not 100% convinced it was taken contemporaneous to the events that it showed. I believe that there was some messing around with that video. But do I believe that stuff happens? Absolutely, it does.
So then I wonder what is on that laptop.
And by the way, Huma Abedin married Alexander Soros. I don't know why that just escaped my mind. But yeah. So there you have it with...
And when you have that kind of filth at the top,
yeah,
that's what tells you that there's a problem. That kind of stuff, it needs to be eliminated.
Well, to answer the question where it is, to my knowledge, that, okay, the laptop hard drive was copied in its entirety, was cloned. And I do believe, not officially. Okay, so I'm thinking back to the conversation I've had, and this has been a couple of years. But I believe at least one of somebody who had access to that did make a clone of the laptop and put it away. The official part, there's a clone of the laptop, the hard drive, with NYPD, and I believe the actual laptop is at the FBI. I hope that answers the question. Now, this is to the best of my knowledge, based on information from people such as Sidney Powell. But okay, so there's that.
And that's interesting, because you know, I did a lot of work with the NYPD intel.
Yes, you do, more than anybody.
And I helped get them set up with some discoveries that they didn't have. I got them their first $1 million. And, you know, if that had showed up, that laptop had showed up when I had a working relationship with them, I would have actually maybe stood a chance of seeing it, because they didn't treat me like a piece of crap like sometimes the feds would.
Yeah,
they shared things. because yep. they felt we were all on the same mission, and that's what we were. In fact, that's how I got introduced to a lot of this stuff, was through a friend in the NYPD. Guy that answered the phone one night when I called. The FBI office was closed. The operator flipped me over to NYPD terrorism unit. Just two guys sitting in a room.
To be clear, counterterrorism unit. But
counterterrorism
unit. Yeah.
But, well, you know, that's how it started.
Depending on who you are, but.
That's how it started.
And the capabilities, I mean, when you go into that building, and I won't say where it is, NYPD building, that's really kind of a fusion of all the intel agencies as well as NYPD.
Yeah, there's a desk for everything from each three-letter agency and agencies you've never even heard of, and from every military, every branch of the military.
Yeah.
They set that up according to my home.
Oh, yeah.
Home office. Because they came down, they were still stumbling in the dark. They didn't know what they were doing. And they came to my home and came in my office. I had an office set up and took pictures and everything. And they set everybody's cubicle up to be exactly like what I had, because mine worked. Quite flattering, actually.
Right. And your name, well, your code name did come up. When I saw that place, I was like, wow, this is something. And that was back in the early 2000s. And that was amazing to see every square inch of downtown New York pretty much on video. Lenny 19 writes, how about what Martin Armstrong's computer Socrates said would happen roughly in 1 week? Does Steve know, or only that something big will be happening? For those people who don't know, Martin Armstrong is a well-known, very high-profile economist. I guess is an economist. I guess that's how you would describe him. Who runs a program, or actually a computer named Socrates, and it works on algorithms that predict is the wrong word, but anticipate future events. And one of the future events was, and I saw him with Greg Hunter, World War III is inevitable. And the timing of this, hey, we could be, you know, there could be a nuclear event within a week. But to answer your question, I don't, does Steve know, or only that something big will be happening? I don't know what Steve knows. Okay, I'm just going to say that. I don't know. We haven't talked about that. I don't know if Steve is in, believes in or talks to, or I don't know what his position is on Martin Armstrong's product. Okay, I don't know that. But I can say this. How many times have we heard, okay, based on this calculation, that calculation, something bad is going to happen, and it doesn't? Many times. Mm-hmm. Now, could it happen? Absolutely. Am I saying it's not? No, I'm not. But, you know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
At the end of the day, you don't know. You can look at everything and say, okay, everything's right for this. Everything's right for this to happen. We had the advantage back in the day of chatter. Now, the government always said, oh, the chatter's running high.
And we would follow that chatter, you and I. Yeah.
But I told the government, and I was correct, that the chatter was not high. In fact, it got too quiet. That's when I knew something was coming. Because they'd always talk about chatter's high. There's going to be an event, and nothing happened. It's when chatter went quiet that you needed to worry. When the big names suddenly I couldn't monitor anymore. All of a sudden, they're silent. That's when you get concerned. Instructions are already being given. And then when that would happen, I'd work even harder because I figured I had missed something. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, that's quite a load to have on your shoulders, digging for things when you know something's coming. And you're just not, everybody's looking at you going, okay, tell us. tell us what's going on. Like I'm psychic or something. I was just able, my ability lied with patterns. I am a pattern guy.
Did it mess with your head though to think because at the time, okay, and folks, look, this is how we came to be essentially in this venue, in this realm, is so they would come to you and say, "What are you seeing? What are you hearing?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you would give your intelligence assessment. Mm-hmm. And that kind of had to mess with your head a little bit.
Yeah, and then you know, sometimes be up for 72 hours.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, I'm trying to run a company. You know, be a husband, or, you know, be a husband. And all. It just was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. You know.
Yeah.
But we got lucky a couple times, you know, like on the London bombings. I was actually sitting in Doug's basement with them. And we just made a comment about London, you know.
That was bizarre.
It was next, and boom, the next day, the London attacks happened. And don't you know, people were up my butt. Yeah, well, you know, what'd you see? What'd you know? I know. It was a lucky guess. And I tried not to do that. But we were...
Well, I don't know if that was a lucky guess as much as it was, but just from memory,
because
I remember where you were sitting and stuff. I think that was an evaluation of the evidence that you, and this is the same thing we did with Butler and Rehoboth Farms. Thank you, Officer Ben Schaefer from, oh my gosh, the Washington County, counter sniper team at Butler. We can't get into specific attribute specific statements to specific people at this point, but I think there's enough on record where Schaefer had said, look, this does not add up in terms of what in terms of the building where Crooks was at. And again, Schaefer is a regional SWAT counter sniper for Washington County, Pennsylvania. And he spoke publicly about the roof of the AGR building being uncovered. Folks, you want answers? AGR building. You're going to find them in, on, and throughout that building. There's a reason why that building was selected. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully that answers the question, but I'm in total agreement. I don't know if that answers your question. He must know what happened, Rehoboth Farms. I think he's got a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. And, I think a lot of people or a lot of them know what happened, but
be assured there was more than one shooter.
There was. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. You've got people who run who will provide these really, they will crowdsource, which is what we do. We crowdsource. I mean, we're only on air because of you folks. So we crowdsource what we do. But there are others that do the same or say they do the same, put out this very convincing or these very convincing audio files, video files, compilations, you know, using software, very impressive stuff. But a lot of times, not a lot, but sometimes, if they're not based on fact at the very start, then everything is off.
Because when they take those programs and use them, the data's got to be correct going into the program. That's right. That's the point Doug's trying to make. Just just because it looks cool on a computer screen and they can show you in a movie doesn't exactly make it the truth.
That's right.
And that's what you have to be aware of. That's there's still a lot of unanswered questions about Butler. But there's a lot of questions that have been, that the answer is there, but nobody's even acknowledging that that's the answer. And the government's got this, the feds have got this story out there about one shooter. I mean, this is like the JFK assassination. You know, we're back to one shooter.
You know, 64 years.
The one shooter story is getting a little old. Okay, especially when there's information. If you don't know jack about this, if you just look at the two Secret Service counter snipers on the roof, okay, we know the one on the right is the one that, in my opinion, killed Crooks. Okay, and then you can't miss it. They do their thing. They lift up and they adjust to the right.
Yep.
To engage. That means what? Thank you. That means that there was someone else over there. And
yep.
Dead men don't shoot.
The reason this is difficult to talk about, because you've got threats. You've got implied threats, not threats, but implied threats that you don't want to keep going here. You don't want to keep digging. And, you know, here's the thing.
Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah. Go back to that 10-minute video expose by New York Post, where those two men came up to that reporter and said, this story is dead. Remember this. The story is dead. And
unless you're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was said to us a couple of different times in a couple of different ways. Will the truth ever come out on this? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. What you're hearing about this is not the truth, not even close. And
I believe there's people out there that saw some things, and there's people out there that have video they have never showed to anybody.
Oh, I can guarantee you that.
And if you have that, anybody out there has that, feel free to send it in.
Anonymously.
Yep.
If you want.
If you don't, you'll never be in danger with us. You have to understand that, and you have to believe that. But you can contact me by email, rt@hagmanpi.com. Okay? Don't worry. Nobody sees a thing. Okay? We are I'm coming to you right now on a VPN. No, you know, we're hard to track.
Right.
That's for a reason. But if you have something that we need to see, you send it to us.
And yes, as I'm going through this, because I, you know,
because right now we're all looking at the same videos, everybody. There's just people putting out films and this and that. And everything. I watched a film here this week. The guy didn't put out anything I haven't seen. You know, everybody's going nuts over the film.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't see anything in that film. That's
the one you sent me, right?
Yeah, I sit here, Doug, this guy's got this film, watch this. I didn't see a single thing in that film that I haven't seen. You know, I didn't see anything compelling in that.
There were, I think, 17, 18 people who were detained by the FBI and their phones were taken. They were not within the secure perimeter. Of the event, but they were between the building and the perimeter, and a few made it away from the police and the FBI.
We would love to talk to you.
Now we spoke with one of the several that made it away because they couldn't get all of them. But the ones that were detained had their phones taken, the videos pretty much expunged. It's who does that?
Exactly. Only people trying to hide things. The fix was in before that event even started.
And remember that there's the key right there. This was long in the planning. That was long in the planning.
It was the perfect day for it. It was the perfect time.
Yeah.
Trump is lucky he turned his head.
And there's some issues with that too. You know, some people saying, "Well, I could have made that shot," you know, to nick his ear or whatever. Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
You'd have to be pretty damn good because you got to calculate breeze, everything. I mean, I'm good at that range. I'm deadly at that range. But
yeah, but even so, you know, if you and I were having a conversation,
I don't think the president would say, "Okay, take a shot at my ear." Right. I just don't see that.
I mean, look, I know what a great shot you are, but if you and I were sitting down and I'd say, "Look, here's the deal, Randy, I want you to nick my ear with this, you know, 7.62 round, okay?" I don't think I'd be saying, "Yeah, do this," okay?
And I wouldn't even do it.
No.
But no, there's no way that I just don't think that the shot was a setup. A lot of other things that day
were,
yeah,
but, or could have been,
yeah.
The inside of that building, and the follow the money on this is rather interesting too, because look, I've been threatened with lawsuits, so I got to watch a little bit, but think about where Crooks was, and think about just think about where he was, and then follow the money. And just, I'm going to stop there because again, people are listening to what we're saying. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, there are some influencers out there, folks. I'm not going to name them, but big. I mean, they have the platform. They have the fancy talk. They can talk. They've got the facts, the talking points. You know, they've got the support staff. They've got a whole bunch of stuff, but truth, not necessarily. So, I'm looking over the. I'm looking over the questions. RT, go ahead and anything.
Well, yeah, there's like we've been saying on this, on the Butler thing, there's not a whole lot more we can say about it, but we can firmly tell you that there was more than one gunman.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, 99% sure, that Trump didn't ask somebody to take a shot off his ear. They just said, I would say, and this is where you have to be careful, but a lot of the same players that were in the coup, I think if we really could get to the inner circles, we would find their names involved in Butler. I will say that.
That's a very well diplomatized way of saying things. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that. They intended to see Donald Trump killed that day.
Yeah. And some of the same people mentioned by DNI Gabbard, I would be looking very closely at those.
Yeah, because the things that were done that day, it would take somebody pretty far up there to make those things happen. There'd have to be holdovers, and it'd have to be people that Obama had control. Did I say that? Excuse me. Huh? That someone had control over. I'd be careful with that. But I'm just saying that a lot of this particular group, the center core of people, has been trying to overthrow Trump since his first presidency, and they're not done. They're not done. They tried going all every which way, and they tried dragging him through courts. He was beating that. Everything they did to try and beat the guy and demoralize the guy, he just kept coming back stronger, and his base kept getting bigger. The only thing left was killing.
And I would not put that to bed yet, because
it's not over yet. It's not done. There's too much infection still in the government. You know, everybody talks about the swamp. Swamp's not even a good word, because at least I can see what's in the swamp.
Correct.
I can muddle around a little bit and find what I'm looking for in a swamp. This is an infection, a bone cancer.
We actually had, speaking of swamps, just one of the last outings we had with Russ Dizdart, we had a diver and swamp work. And let me tell you what, that's, God bless that person, hang on one second here, Christopher BIC, Christopher Bick, Karen Kingston. Yeah, I was with Craig Sawyer somewhere, and we were talking with somebody who knows her very well. In fact, was the pilot of the plane that when they had a crash landing, Karen was hurt. But yes, we can have her on. Okay. A Bells, do you think cutting off of Elon Musk is dangerous? Randy Taylor, we haven't talked about Musk at all. What are your thoughts on that? The relationship between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I knew that. I mean, you could paint that from a mile away. That was coming, but what do you think about that?
I think a lot of that's a dog and pony show. I really do. I don't think there's this deep vested hatred. Elon's picking up too many government contracts. So
about money though?
I think he was pissed off because Elon was pissed off because he put everything he had on hold to do the Doge thing, and then Trump turned around and spent more money than he saved on Doge, which made it minimize his work.
And cut off the subsidies to the cars.
Yep. So I don't think that this is a deep-rooted war between these two guys. I think they still talk on the phone.
And Abels, thank you for that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I have a tendency to agree with you on that.
I just don't see it as yet being the end all battle because, like I said, Elon's picking up contracts. Big, big, big contracts from the U.S. government. If that was the case, Trump would dethrone that. He'd shoot those down. He has that ability.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a lot of this is theater. You know, you look at it and you go, okay, it's good theater. Does it really have any bearing on anything? No. So we don't ask about it.
But does it have any bearing on it?
I don't know. I don't know. I think not, because I think it was a squabble. I think it also was a way for Elon to be able to walk away and get back to running his companies, to put up this facade of a squabble. Okay, that's it. I'm done with these people. Because his companies were suffering. I mean, come on, they were burning down his dealerships.
Yeah, that's
true. There was a lot going on in Elon's life. And he was only being tormented and attacked because of what he was doing with Doge and that he was working for Trump. That was it. That was the sole reason. So I people would have got upset if he just said, look, I got to pull out. They'd have called him all kinds of names and everything. So, hey, I have to go, because me and Trump are arguing.
But you know, one thing I noticed about Musk and.
If there's an Epstein list, he has it.
I'm sure he would.
Don't think that he doesn't.
But with Musk, okay, even at a more basic level, Ronald Reagan when he was president, and I miss this, and by this I mean I miss when Ronald Reagan would say, I would never go into the Oval Office without wearing a suit, without wearing a coat. And the respect to the office, to that position was immense.
Yeah.
So I think, and think about this, folks, just for a second, I think that Donald Trump has a little bit of that reverence there, that respect there. So when you have somebody like Elon Musk coming in, looking like a gamer, okay, there's going to be some friction there, even if it's unspoken. There's going to be some friction. And I think that was, I think Elon was getting a little bit too comfortable.
Could be.
I don't know.
I think he needed an exit, and that was just a good way to have an exit. But I believe I think he needed an exit. He was really, people were turning on him in the government, powerful people. And he had pissed off a lot of people. And it was a way that he could walk away and still hold his dignity.
Yeah, yeah.
What do I know? I don't know.
But we're all in the realm of speculation on that. But let's, I mean, certainly it's valid speculation. Getting back to the computer, Wiener's computer, which again, I paused the chat. I'm going back to the different issues that we were speaking of. What's on the dark web, Tim Dumb? I'm going to say this. You got to be really careful because there's a lot of stuff on there that has no reflection of what was to the files on Wiener's computer. It's, trust nothing you find on the dark web that says, oh, this is from Wiener's computer or this is a duplicate. No, please don't do that. Because the conversations we had 9, 8 years ago, that was a big one. And that did include the video Frazzle Drip. And that whole thing was a sick, twisted piece of video. All right. See, nothing new to talk about. A movie stuck in replay. Not really. I think it's all about perspective. Okay. I believe, which is why we're doing what we're doing right now. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What can
we've been
do?
Asking you guys come up with something.
And unless I'm behind. So I have to apologize. I'm trying to keep up here. Radio frequency Jesus, we have the Trump dream team in office, so why is nothing happening and they can't locate it? What happened to releasing 9/11 files? What happened to auditing Fort Knox? Man, we can go through the entire list. What happened to Fort Knox auditing that? I 100%. What the hell did happen?
That's a good question.
And there's probably a list of 100 other things that we got. Yeah, we'll do this. But the people like Johnson, instead of addressing the issues, let's just vacation for another day, or let's extend the congressional vacation. This is the problem. The people that should be doing the things are not doing what they need to do.
That's right. They talk a good show.
Yeah.
But they're doing nothing. And right now, Tom Cotton, okay, is doing his best to cut Tulsi Gabbard off at the knees. Right now.
Tulsi Gabbard, unless she knows something that we don't...
Because he's a head of a committee, a very powerful committee, and he right now is trying to cut her off at the knees.
I would, if I was Tulsi, I would increase my security a little bit more, because if she's actually genuine in what she's, then she's entering into some certain areas that really.
And I'd go outside of the government. I swear I'd have, if I was Trump, I would call her a prince and have a detail put on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some guys that know what they're doing. If it was my job to protect her, that's exactly who I would call Eric Prince.
Yeah.
He knows the government, but he's also just outside of the government.
Well,
I would trust him more than a Secret Service detail. I mean, come on. Something's wrong in the Secret Service.
And there still is.
It is. And the scary part is they're charged with protecting the president. That's the scary part. After Butler, I would be very uncomfortable with the Secret Service.
You got that right.
Because who do you trust, Doug? At that, you come to a point. Who do you trust? I mean, you're sitting up there in the White House, and there's so many people who want to do you in. Who do you trust? That's that. Man, that talk about staying awake at night. That would keep you awake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just, you wouldn't know who to trust.
Well, and folks, what we saw at Butler with respect to the Secret Service, obviously, the task that we were given was, it had limitations. And one of those, we could not, like, for example, investigate the Secret Service because that was far out of our realm of the tasks. Plus, how in the hell would we do that? Okay. So that was beyond our capabilities and beyond our mandate.
Yeah, but we can tell you some kid didn't just stumble his way in there.
There you go.
And get on that roof. And know to go to that roof. You can't tell me that, even if I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground.
Amen to that. Yeah.
You couldn't tell me that. Nobody's that lucky. I was never that lucky. You can't, that just doesn't happen. I don't believe in coincidence, especially a series of coincidences. No. No,
the
and no. There's no way. There's just no way. Mathematically, it's just talking. It couldn't happen. Mathematically, it couldn't happen. I would be able to win the lottery 10 times in a row if that was the case.
The odds against all of the failures, 1 in 1 septillion. Mm-hmm. That was that was calculated.
And think about that number that Doug just gave you, septillion.
Yeah.
Stop and think about that one.
It's can't even calculate those
odds. In other words, there's no way it happened that way.
No, no, no. And Schaefer, you'll have to read both forms, but excuse me, because names, I mean, there are so many names involved in this. The number of people that we've talked to, I mean, looking at the list of names. Obviously, the Washington County sniper, but here's there are a lot of issues with respect to the Butler assassination. Now, and it's my understanding too, what 60 some days later, the attempted assassination of President Trump at the golf course in Palm Beach, right? So. That we did not get into except speaking with people who did investigate certain aspects of that. So having said that, there's something wrong with that Florida attempt, far beyond anything that we can explain or have the knowledge, firsthand knowledge to explain, except that it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a distraction away from Butler.
Exactly.
To make it like, hey, we're going to do this one. This is going to be like a clown show. So maybe you guys will accept all the coincidences at Butler.
That's probably better said than I could have said.
The day it happened, did it not just reek of BS?
Yeah,
especially Secret Service firing on the guy and not hitting him.
From how many yards away? It was like 5 yards away. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. 15 yards or something. But it's crazy.
Yeah,
I could close my eyes and hit the guy. You know, and all the stuff he had hanging on the fence. You know, saying I'm here, and the AK-47 sticking through the fence. Anybody that is an experienced shooter shoots from cover. You don't stick weapons out windows. You don't stick weapons out doors. You don't stick weapons out of the bushes. You shoot from cover.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing stunk. And to me, it's almost like it was supposed to be a mockery of, okay, let's make this look half-assed. And that way maybe the people believe that Chris just half-assed walked in there and that's the way it happened. That's the way it just seemed to me. Maybe I'm wrong. But...
Yeah,
the one in Florida was a clown show.
And watch. Is that going to trial? Do we know? I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I don't even know what happened with the guy. Have you noticed how that one just got put away?
Yeah. Well, you know, they more or less both did.
Certain things happen in our lifetimes that should raise questions. Like the guy that organized the Al-Qaeda strike that killed Ambassador Stevens in Libya, okay? Supposedly, the FBI grabbed him 2 weeks later and brought him to New York, and he was on a Navy ship, and they had a trial. Did you ever hear anything about that trial?
No.
Not a word.
No.
Still nothing. There's just things that just go away.
And
they just seem to go away. And this is the problem. We let it go away. It's going to happen again. We've got to stop it just going away. That's another one. That's another one.
That's right.
That little circle of conspirators that we've been talking about happened to be involved in.
There you go. And so this
that's
is why.
That little circle, circle of conspirators is guilty of a lot of stuff.
But this is why, to me, folks, it's so important to really know your recent history, but know the history really from the development of the CIA, OSS, from OSS to the CIA. And we can see all, and even child trafficking is part of that.
See, people forget. Some people that hear this aren't even old enough to remember, you know, but people forget, like, what happened with Ambassador Stevens. They forget Benghazi.
Yeah.
They forget these things. Well, when you have the same cast of characters in Benghazi, you know, surrounding Benghazi, same cast of characters surrounding the coup against President Trump, same cast of characters running the Biden administration, now the same cast of characters going heads up against Trump again. Come on. Don't you think it's time that something's done? Are we not done with this? How long are we going to let these people operate above the law? We can't do it. It has to stop. That's why I'm saying I hope this news about going after Obama and Hillary Clinton is true and it's not a distraction. Because if it's a distraction, I will have lost all faith in this administration. I'm on that line.
I'm there with you. Because at what point now? Yes, I'll put a period there. I'm there with you. Myra Raines and Searsby, your spaghetti sauce, pasta sauce. I got to tell you, do yourself a favor. Use San Marzano tomatoes, certified from Italy, though. They got to be certified from Italy as being San Marzano. Not San Marzano style, but San Marzano tomatoes for your pasta sauce. You'll thank me later.
From the old country.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, that's the best San Marzano tomatoes. Okay, but they have the DP certification. I think it's DP. I don't know, because there are a lot of imitations out there, but it's fabulous. You'll thank me later, but all right. Just from the comments, I'm just looking at the comments here. Let's see here. Okay. So, well, I'm pretty.
And that cast of characters we're talking about, too. Don't forget to include Zelensky in there.
Now, why? Okay, so that's a good point. Why would you say that?
Because he popped up in the middle of that whole Russian thing in Trump's first term. I think he's very filthy. He's a paid actor.
Well, yeah. He's a lot of things. Yeah.
And he's a liar. And he was in Pennsylvania actually campaigning against Trump.
Zelensky. Yeah.
You stop and think about that. Foreign actors on the ground in the U.S. campaigning against the presidential hopeful. That kind of stinks. Especially when we were talking about cutting off aid to Ukraine, period. That's what Trump was going to do. He was going to get in, just talk to Putin, and Putin would hang up his gun belt and Of course, that didn't happen, and here we are now sending stuff to NATO so it can be sent to Ukraine. Another thing that doesn't make sense about this administration. These are why I have questions. See, I'm not, I don't wear Donald Trump underwear. You know what I'm saying? He's just a regular dude. The MAGA movement gets a little carried away with the Trump worship.
America first versus.
Yes. America, the Constitution, there's a whole bunch of things first.
But it's certainly we certainly would not have America first if we had Harris or any other leftist in office.
No.
And what we do now is going to affect the midterms, which will affect the general election. And if we don't see anything happen favorably now between now and the midterms, I'm going to tell you right now, you might as well just pack it up and
I think Harris is so stupid she scared the globalists. They were like, oh man, is this all we have?
The stars.
The senile guy and the drunk broad.
Exactly. It's all in the cloud, you know, the cloud.
Yeah. What do we do?
Oh my gosh, we should pull out some of the old and that Tim Walz. What a.
Oof. Oh, yeah. His little tutu on stage.
Oh my gosh.
What a fairy.
Yeah, I wonder what he was drinking that night at the, I wonder how much he drank of.
I know in that one interview, she sounded drunk. She did. She sounded like she was plowed.
Well, I was, by the way, I was referring to the newspaper article where Tim Walz on a bet supposedly drank some horse spooge.
Ooh.
Okay. So I guess trying to be like Kamala, I don't know. Nah, I'm trying to be like knee pads. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is
be like Obama.
Be like Obama. Well, yeah, that's Larry. And I've had conversations with Larry Sinclair too, who reportedly gave oral sex to Obama in the back of a limo in Chicago. So there's that. But you know, most of those people don't live to tell their tale.
No. So. Like Obama's cook, chef, the guy that drowned in 3 feet of water. You remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
So you asked yourself, what did he hear?
Hang on one second. so hang on a second here. Total shit show again. Yep, total shit show again. Where's Eric? Optimist, pessimist. Okay. 2BR7562. What are you talking about? You don't like the show?
Log off.
Yeah. I mean,
there's plenty of stuff on Rumble.
Yeah.
We came in here without a list of stuff for you guys, and so far you haven't given us much to talk about.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, that's fine. Let's see.
Oh, yep, storing them.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, continue.
I don't know. Well, it's going to be interesting to see that, but Tulsi Gabbard does need protection. She's definitely going into uncharted waters. Anytime you start talking about, bringing an ex-president up on charges. That doesn't happen every day. The Democrat, though, remember the Democrats set the mark on that, though. They're the ones that decided to pursue Trump after a presidency. Okay? This is something, usually all through history, presidents were pretty much given a pass. Even with Nixon, he was pardoned, by Ford. It's just something you don't really do. It's kind of off limits. But
to be clear, Watergate was not about what you think it was. Roger Stone did a good book on that, but I digress. Go ahead, continue.
But the point is that you just don't go into that area. And they went ahead and went after Trump. I mean, the last 4 years, with Biden's administration, Trump's been in court constantly. I mean, they were dragging him into court when there weren't even charges. And they were going to figure out what the charges once they got there and started the proceeding.
Correct.
How would a judge even let people sit in his courtroom under those pretenses? And if you came to me and I'm a judge and you said, we know it's an activist judge and all, but any judge of sound character would have looked at the prosecutor and said, get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even have charges to bring them in on. You're going to develop those as we go. I've never heard of that. I have never in my entire life heard of that happening to someone. Apparently they can do it. If they can do it to him, they can do it to any one of us.
Well, think about the latitude given by our two federal district judges to be able to stop the entire or Article 2 powers of the presidency. I mean, it was never a thing before this. Now it is.
Yeah.
My gosh, you know, it's crazy.
And they don't take a message from these activist judges. Don't take a message from SCOTUS very well. I mean, the Supreme Court's pretty well told them, you're out of your league. You're out of your arena. You're out of your wheelhouse. And they still sit there and try and stop the immigration process and try and stop this and try and stop that. And if I was Trump, to be honest with you, I'd just go full steam ahead to hell with you.
Well, yeah, and that's... he's damned if he does. I mean, you do it, but if I was him, yeah, I'd say, you know what?
Yep.
Stick it in your
back pocket. My job is to protect this country.
Exactly. And thank you, Abels. I appreciate that for clear clarification. And thank you for your generosity. And BR7562, thank you. It's trolls. We always get trolls. No worries about that.
They have nothing better to do at night.
Exactly. And by the way, where you can get the tomatoes, they're canned and you can get them at your large grocery store. But make sure they're DOP certified or DDP DOP certified. Okay.
When you have trolls, that's a good sign too, Doug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So the bottom line is why, and the financial reset too. That came up a couple of times in chat. Look, the financial reset is closely tied, in my view, very quickly, closely tied to the surveillance state, which will be implemented because they, meaning the powers behind the power, they want complete control over what we buy, what we sell. They want to know everything that we do. And we will not be able to make a move without them knowing it. So that's why we have to fight. That's why I pay cash for everything I can. I don't use a debit card or whatever you call those things. Because I don't want to be tracked. But it's coming. That financial reset is coming because the debt is, people say it's unsustainable, but you can sustain it by keeping doing what you've been doing. And that's just creating nothing out of thin air, creating money out of thin air. And that's what they've been doing. So,
we're the largest counterfeiting operation in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you and I did it, we'd be in jail, but.
Yeah,
when you're the Federal Reserve,
but I think that's going to take a little bit longer than people think to implement, and the pushback against that is going to be great. But it's bound to happen. I think it's biblically. I think it's part of biblical prophecy, and I think that that's going to be, as you had mentioned, the beast system.
Mm-hmm.
So
you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade, and you just had a small taste of it during COVID.
Oh, exactly. And by the way, somebody said buy silver. Who was that? Mighty Quinn 97.9. Yeah, but look, silver right now is just a fantastic buy. If you have the money, certainly do that. It's better on par than gold in terms of being a buy. The only problem is, you know, if you buy it in bulk, it's a lot of weight. Yeah. Of course, I don't have to worry about that, but people that buy it in bulk do. Okay.
Armored car keeps showing up at your house, your neighbors are going to question it.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, that's the difference between silver and gold, but nonetheless. All right, you got 30 seconds. Randy Taylor, thank you so much. This is going to be up now. This program will be up from now until Tuesday
night.
It's
been fun. I wish we'd have more questions, but it's been fun.
Or we missed them. I don't know, but thank you. But yes, so folks, we'll see you back here on Tuesday. Thank